Okay, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10 tonight. We are tracking through the life of Jesus chronologically, event by event, as nearly as we can determine that they occurred. Jesus is up in the Galilee. He is heading now for Jerusalem. This is his last trip south. He's heading for the cross. As he goes, we're going to be examining some of the things that happened on that trip south. Tonight he's going to be commissioning 70 of his followers and sending them out. Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, you know the rest, today and tomorrow, forever. So when we see the way that he deals with people in the Bible, we can assume that some of those ways are ways that he deals with people today. So as we examine Jesus sending people out, that can give us some information about how Jesus sends people out today. And that's what I want to show you tonight. In this short passage, 12 verses in Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at Jesus sending people out then and Jesus sending people out now. Three main questions: who, how, and what? Who gets sent? How do they go? And what do they do? Let's look at this tonight. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Now, we've already seen Jesus send people out before. That was in Luke chapter 9, first verse, when he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all demons, and to cure diseases. Now, that was another sending. That was just his 12 disciples, the 12 inner circle guys. This time, Jesus picks 70, and that tells us something right there. The crowds that followed Jesus. Sometimes we have this picture in our mind of maybe as though it were done by, in a B movie. You know, you could only afford so many extras. Man. They had plenty of extras in those days. The crowds that followed Jesus. Jesus could pick 70 that he trusted, that he knew out of the crowd, and send them out. And it probably didn't even make a dent in the crowd. So think about the crowd following Jesus now. He picks out of that crowd 70 people. And he sends them. Here's one of the first things I want you to notice. Two by two. Why do you suppose that Jesus sent them out two by two? Kind of an open forum here. Why would Jesus do that? I mean, if you had 70 and you sent them out two by two, you're only sending how many groups? 35. Now, why not send 70 groups? Twice as many, twice as much work. Why did he limit it to 35 and send them out two by two? What do you guys think?
So they have someone else
that
you need to rely on to work with.
Sure.
It's a team approach.
It's a team approach. There you go. Yeah. Let all things be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Two have a better return for their labors than one. If one falls down, how can he get up? If one's cold, how can he be warm? Always better to go by twos. There's another thing involved in here as well, and that's something I was talking with Mary about just before the service. Accountability. Sending them out two by two accomplishes something important. It sends them out in teams. It sends them out with another, and it provides for accountability for them. Today, when we send people out of this church for any reason, we really try to send them out two by two. If it's a worship conference or a missions conference, youth leaders conference, whatever the event, if we're going to send people out of this church, we make every effort to send them out two by two or three by three or four by four. We try not to send people out singly. The reason why is accountability. That's an important feature of your Christian walk, being accountable to someone. Lots of people have accountability partners, people who check in with them and ask them, how's it going with you? I notice you're a little down. What's going on? Can I pray for you in some way? And it's important to have accountability somewhere in your life, I think. We really try not to send people out singly because we don't want to take a young guy or a young girl and or an old guy, or an old girl. There are no old girls, I'm sorry, old guys. We don't want to take somebody and send them out and park them in a hotel room with HBO by themselves and who knows what else, bars and internet and all kinds of things, and have them be by themselves and open to all kinds of temptations. You might think I make a little too much of that, but you know, every year I go to the pastors' conference in California, and every year there are men there who are better men than I am. They're smarter than me. They've been doing this longer than me. They've had greater success than I have had. And every year I see better men than me fall, and they're not there. They've been taken out of ministry. And I think in large part that happens because we're not accountable. If you go out two by two, you've got someone with you. You got someone to watch you. You got someone to hold you accountable. And that's a concept that we try to have. So the first thing we see about these guys is that apparently Jesus appreciates this concept of accountability. He sends them out two by two, not singly, but he sends them out in pairs. I believe it's so that they can be accountable to each other and keep an eye on each other. You know, let me just say it again. Every year I see better men, smarter men than me, men who've walked with the Lord longer, fall into sin, and they're removed. They're no longer in a place of ministry. So if we ever send you out somewhere, please don't feel offended if we try to hook you up with someone and send you out with a partner. That's the way we like to do it. We think it makes good sense. It says that he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So where did they go? Did they just kind of scatter and wander anywhere? They went where Jesus was going to go. So there were at least 35 cities that Jesus planned to visit between Galilee and Jerusalem. At least 35, probably many more than that. But the key point was that he sent them out where he was about to go. Have you guys read the newspapers lately? Look at an internet article? Some of you are shaking your heads. No, because you know what you'll find there. You guys are aware that we are closer to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth than we have ever been before. I won't put a date on it, but I'll just say we're closer than we've ever been before. And you know what? Jesus is about to come to this planet. He's going to return, and this time when he returns, he comes to rule over the earth. That's his plan according to God's word. He's coming to rule. He's coming to judge. The first time he came to save. He came to preach the message, the gospel, the way for man to be in a relationship with God. The second time he comes in power and authority. And he's coming. So if he's coming to this world, do you think he's still involved in the process of sending people out to the place he's about to come to? Absolutely. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Okay, pop quiz. We're two verses into this. I got questions. Who did Jesus send out? How many? They were his disciples. Who's he speaking to? Same crew. Then he said to them, the 70 disciples. And what does he tell them to do? Pray that I'll send people out. Okay, put the brakes on. Jesus sends them out. And then he says, pray that I send someone out. What's he doing with them? I mean, you got to read the Bible and you got to stop and think about it, because some of this stuff is just fascinating and hilarious. He says to them, "I want you to pray that I send people out." What's he doing with them? He's sending them out. Do you understand what's going on here? Prayer is not about changing God's mind. Prayer is about changing your mind. The more time you spend in fellowship with God and in prayer with God, the more you begin to think like Him. Prayer is not about going to God to get your way. Prayer is about going to God to get yourself in line with His way. And the more time you spend in prayer, the more time you spend with the Father, the more you're going to become like Him. So He tells these people, pray that I will send laborers out. Now He's sending them out. But He wants them in line with His will. So He says, pray that I will send you out. People at random. Charlie R., where do you live? Fair enough. Jim Jones, where you live? What city? It's not a trick question.
Well, my post office box is Rancho State.
Rancho State Taos. And where do you live? David Torres. Taos. God sent these people out. And he told them to pray that he would send people out so that their hearts would be in line with his hearts. Now, that is so like God. Let me show you something from the book of Isaiah. Let me take you over to Isaiah chapter 6 and show you God doing the same exact thing with another man. In Isaiah 6, chapter 8, God is about to send Isaiah out. And here's the way Isaiah 6, 8 reads. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I, Isaiah, said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. You all live in Taos. Where have you been sent? Taos. That's where you are. I live in Taos. I've been sent to Taos. Now, God is the one that does the sending. God is the one that chooses. But here's what God's chosen for you. You all live in Taos, or one of the surrounding communities. Where have you been sent? Taos. You're here. Can God change that? Easiest thing in the world. But you've all been sent to Taos. So I want you to kind of get this concept now. Here's the first question. Who gets sent? Everybody. You're sent here. If God changes that, he'll send you somewhere else. But for the time being, for the present moment, you've been sent to Taos. Now, Jesus in those days was in the business of sending people out. Is Jesus still in the business of sending people out? Where have you been sent? Taos. Okay, we got that much settled. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're born again, you're following Jesus, you're filled with the Spirit, you're a Christian, are you sent? Where have you been sent? Until God changes it. Here you are. Okay, we're sent. So we've got that part squared away. We are a bunch of sent people. We're sent to where we are, and here we are. Now, let's look at the how these people go out. Verse 3, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Hit the brakes again. Lambs among wolves. What do wolves eat? Lambs, of course. Now, it would have been different for me personally if Jesus had said, behold, I send you out as an armored Hummer among Volkswagen Beetles. I would have said, yeah, let's go, Lord. I'm ready for that one. Or, behold, I send you out as a 50 caliber machine gun among water pistols. I would have said, yeah, right on, let's go. But lambs among wolves? That doesn't play so well, does it? But that's how you're sent out. Just last week, we looked at the guys who were going with Jesus. They were not received into a town, and they said to Jesus, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? Should we toast them, God? And he said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. Now, it's awful hard to save somebody while you're killing them. And Jesus knew that, and he's sharing that with these guys. Why do you get sent out as lambs? Wouldn't it be better to be sent out as jaguars or cobras or something? Well, it's awful hard to save people while you're killing them. And so he says, I'm sending you out as wolves. Here's how you go out. We know who goes out. We go out. Where are we sent? Here we are until that changes. But how do you go out? You go out knowing you're going to meet resistance. Have any of you ever shared the Lord with another person, Taos or anywhere else? Any of you ever witnessed or told someone about Jesus? What kind of responses do you get sometimes? What are they? Say it. They think you're crazy. So ridicule, certainly. What other kind of responses do you get sometimes? What is it? I'm sorry.
Narrow-minded.
Narrow-minded. So you're kind of mocked a little bit. What other kind of responses do you get if you try to share Jesus and his love of people? Why? What are you doing? Are you crazy? You see a lot of what?
Ridicule.
How about persecution? What kind of persecution do we get in the United States? Very little social persecution. Your friends might stop hanging around. People might say, oh, shh, quiet, here comes the Christian. But that's small potatoes, you know. People in other parts of the... You know what happens if you're found to be a believer in the Sudan? You know what happens? A military team shows up at your house. They take a bucket of paint and they paint a huge red X on the side of your house. The husband is usually killed. The wife is taken as a slave to serve the soldiers' needs. And the children are forced to study the Quran and memorize it. Then a bulldozer comes and finds the house with the red X on it and plows it into the ground. Now that's persecution. In China, believers are arrested, they're beaten, they're imprisoned. We get darn little of this, but you got to know that it's out there. Who gets sent out? We get sent out. Where have you been sent? Here until it changes. What will happen? How will you go? You'll go meeting resistance. You just need to know that. It's a world, by and large, opposed to God. And so if you go out, you got to be ready for that persecution. Now, we don't get a lot of persecution here. We go out as lambs among mean lambs. But in other places, it's lambs among wolves. It's literally life or death, a decision to become a Christian. Here's some more instructions. Carry neither money bag, sack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. When Jesus sends them out this time, he says, don't carry a sack, don't carry money, don't carry spare sandals or anything, just go. Later on in Luke chapter 22, he's going to change that 180 degrees. He's going to say, now when you go out, take money, take a spare coat, take those things. But right now, Jesus is with them, providing in dramatic, miraculous ways. And he says, you're going to totally rely on me for this. You're going to go out. My time is short, so go. Get going. Greet no one on the road. That would be the long, elaborate Middle Eastern greeting where everything would grind to a halt. There'd be food and everything. Jesus says, no, this is urgent. Go. And if you see anyone on the road, don't greet them. Go to the cities you're being sent to. Get busy. Now, he says he's going to provide for them. Don't take money. Don't take a sack. You might wonder, how is he going to provide for them? Well, verse 5 says, but whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Now, let me just take a little detour here for just a second and say something. There is a pastor of a very large, very well-known, very influential church in the United States who... in an effort to address some of the problems in society, finds himself partnering with all kinds of groups, with Jewish rabbis, with Muslim imams, with Catholic priests, with any group that wants to partner with him, with Gesbians and Lays. you know what I'm trying to say. Any group that wants to partner with this guy, he will partner with. You know his name. Well-known pastor. I think he's in error. More successful than I am, been at it longer than I am, but I think he's in error. He says, whenever you go somewhere and a son of peace receives you, then partner with him, work with him. I don't think that's what this verse means at all. And I'll show you in just a little bit why I believe that. But he says, when you go out, if you go to a house and you say peace to this house and a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. So he says, I'm going to provide for you on the road. When you go, there's going to be people who are going to hear that I have sent you, and they're going to welcome you in. So go there and let them bring you in. Because, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. So when you get there, just trust that I'm providing. Whatever they give you to eat, eat it. Don't go from house to house. Don't, you know, like when I was first saved, I got invited to a lot of things because I was newly divorced and people felt sorry for me. So on Thanksgiving, I would go to 5 different dinners. And I knew the first year who cooked turkey. And I knew who did good side dishes and veggies. And I knew who had the desserts. So the next year, the second year, I had it all planned. This house is first stop, that's turkey. This house is next, we'll load up on some of the sides, and I'm having dessert over there. Now, Jesus said, don't do that. Don't shop around. He says, when you go out, trust me that I'm going to provide. So whatever house you go to, stay in that house. Don't shop around. Just let them take care of you, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. It works the same way today. Musicians come here and perform for you. We pay them. We don't take up a collection because that's not the way we do business here. But we pay them because they're worthy of their hire. Guest speakers come, they get paid. No collection again, that's not the way we do it. But they are worthy of their hire. So we welcome them in. Verse 8, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. So if you're in Detroit, I don't know, pig's feet, you know, in certain neighborhoods. Punchki in certain other neighborhoods. If you make your way to New Mexico, it's green chili. And, you know, amen for that, man. And Dave knows that if you make your way to China, there's all kinds of weird things to eat over there. Just eat it. Don't ask any questions. From personal experience, I know you'll agree with me. Don't ask what it is. Just eat it. And heal the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, we've dealt with the who. Who is sent out? We are. Where are we sent? Here until it changes. The how of going. You go out. In those days, you trusted God. In these days, you make provision. Missionaries raise support. You save money. You pay for transportation. You go out and you get there. And then the what? What do you do? What we just said. And heal the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So if they received you when you went to them, you were to tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. We're forerunners. He's on the way. He's coming. We're here with power to heal you. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Preach the good news. Jesus is on the way. Today, if you go out, what is the what of your going out? What do? Preach the good news. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Jesus is coming. He's on the way. We are his advance men. We're here to tell you that there is a God who loves you and will heal you of every sin, will heal your body and give you a body that will live throughout eternity, will heal the scars, the emotional trauma that comes from living in a fallen world. And everyone that I know has been physically sick, has been emotionally damaged, and is a sinner that needs to be saved. So the what of your going, what do? You preach the kingdom. The kingdom has come near to you. What if they don't accept it? Verse 10. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. So if they receive you, tell them the kingdom of God has come near. If they don't receive you, tell them the kingdom of God has come near. You see, everybody who was going to be reached in that day was going to be reached with the same message. The kingdom of God is near. It's at hand. And everyone had a decision as to how they would respond. Whether they would receive it, whether they would welcome the disciples in, whether they would receive the kingdom of God into their hearts. Or not. Everyone today has the same option. God is still not in the business of forcing people to love him, but he will offer them an opportunity. And everyone you come in contact with should know that the kingdom of God has come near you. So let me just kind of wrap this up. This is a short one tonight. Jesus sent out 70 disciples. Today, Jesus is still in the business of sending people out. Let's answer the who, how, what questions. Who gets sent? We get sent. Where are you sent right now? Taos. Can it change? Sure, but that's up to God. Now, the how of going. When you go out, how do you go? Trusting God, being wise, making preparations, raising support if necessary, planning the trip, learning the language, eating the food, doing all the things that you need to do to be ready to go. That's what he told them to do. The what of the going is what? The kingdom of God has come near to you. That's the message that we take. Now, the minute you walk out these doors, you're back in contact with the world again. Many unbelievers, many unsaved, many people who do not have the relationship with the living God that you have, your message to them, the kingdom of God is here. Now, don't just keep saying that over and over again, because not only will that get boring, but people think you're weird. Fill that up for you, buddy. The kingdom of God is near. No, there are other ways. But see, you need to make sure that they know, because you might be the one person that they come into contact with that is going to tell them the kingdom of God is near. So you walk into the supermarket. The lady at the cashier stand, she says, "Great day, isn't it?" And your answer is, "Praise God, man, it's a beautiful day." That's a conversation starter, in case you didn't notice. "Hi, how are you? New in town?" "Oh, God is good, man. Brought me here from Detroit, and I'm really enjoying this place." "God is good? What's that about?" You see, don't keep saying the same thing over again. "The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near." Because you know what? They're going to come, and they're going to check you to see if you're all right. But what I'm saying is, every day, every person you come into contact with, you have an opportunity in one way or another to tell them that the kingdom of God is at hand. You've been sent because Jesus is coming. A day is coming when every human being on the face of this planet will stand before God. It's not optional. You will. And when that occurs, the only question will be, "What did you do with my son, Jesus?" Now, if they're going to answer that question correctly, "I received him, I'm following him, I love him, I'm saved." If you're going to answer it correctly, you've got to know that the kingdom of God is near. God is still in the business of sending people out. He can send you to Taos, he can uproot you and send you to China, he can bring you back to Taos. But wherever you go, you're going to a place that Jesus is about to visit. These are the end days. It's almost over. Jesus is coming again. And you have been sent out in advance to tell people that the kingdom of God is near. You're the ones who are sent. And you will have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Every time somebody says hi to you, you're going to have a great opportunity to say, "Oh, praise God, it is a great day out there, isn't it? God is good, isn't he?" I mean, you can just make it such a natural thing that it throws them off guard. And you just act like God was the most natural thing in the world. And then they feel like, "Well, what's wrong with me?" Well, what is wrong with you? Isn't God the most natural thing in the world to you? Isn't God your friend? Isn't he your savior? Isn't he the lover of your soul? Don't you know him? And then you get to share with people. Time, short. Jesus, coming. Our job, tell them the kingdom of God is near. You've been sent. For right now to Taos. Later we'll see. But right now there's a lot of people in Taos that need to know that God loves them this much. They need to know that God loved them enough to send his son to die, to pay for their sins, so that they could live forever. Media won't tell them that. Government won't tell them that. School system won't tell them that. But if you've been sent by Jesus, you're the perfect person to tell him that. Father, help us now, God. There are so many opportunities every day that I waste simply because I'm afraid of a little, measly, small-scale persecution. God, change my mind. I pray that you would send laborers, and I pray that I would be one of them. I pray that you would pour your heart so fully into my heart that my heart would break for people who don't know you the way I do. And that you would send me with the simplest message: the kingdom is near. Jesus is coming. He loves you, and he wants to save you. So many opportunities, God. We miss so many of them. Forgive us for that. And now please use us. Send us, God. We want to go. We want to tell them the wonderful things you've done for us so that they can know that same marvelous God. Father, thank you. We look forward to great things now simply because we've come to you and we have asked for this by the power of your Spirit, according to the promise of your word, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. We bless you. We love you, God. Amen.